All right, I would like for you to face someone and tell them I'm praying for you. Go ahead. Don't be shy. Face someone. All right. Why do you seem a little awkward? That's okay. You may be seated. We have this blessing, and we have this blessing that we would say God has given to us, and it is prayer. There is a reality with prayer. Can I have a raise of hands? How many of us have a cell phone? Everyone, if you have a cell phone, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So we have about 18 people here, 19, that have cell phones. How would it be, out of our 19 cell phones, how would it be if somehow, in some way, 16 of them got their phone lines cut? Or what if someone else would secretly take our phone lines and, have them, I say have them cut, but have them disconnected. So you do not have any service. You can't use your phone. In this topic of prayer, It's hard to know. We can have preaching on prayer, which is good and it's right. As I was thinking about this topic of prayer and what to share, there's different things that come to mind, and one of them being, what should we share that would help us to be realistic with this gift God gave to us, which is prayer. Now, I realize I caught you off guard there to have you stand up and face someone and say, I'm praying for you. But did you know that that's one of the greatest heartbeats of God? That we have a very vibrant prayer life? Plus, it is your lifeline with God. And so I understand. I don't want you to feel bad that you felt a little bit awkward in this thing about praying. But I just want to prove a point with that. I actually find myself in the same, I feel the same way. And so there's a reality with this topic of prayer, and that's this. I don't know how often, probably many times, and then also for many people, their prayer lines are cut. Yeah. You know that? Have you ever thought about how often you do, or maybe others do? You ever thought how often someone will pray and have no connection to God at all? That would give us a picture and remind us of a sad thing and a seriousness. Has any of you, do you ever find yourself in a situation where you kind of quietly demand God to hear your prayer, but you could also be guilty of refusing to listen to God? So with this topic of prayer, I want us to be practical and realistic. And just ponder this through and then give it to the Lord and have Him teach us. I want to do that for me. I've shared it with a few of you brothers. Preaching is a very good sanctifier. Somehow preaching helps sanctify. There's nothing like, Lord, what should I preach on? And then the Lord takes you through the fire and says, well, how about we look at this? And then He teaches you all your needs and wants to sanctify you. And then He says, now go share it with someone else. Preaching has a way of, when someone preaches, you're never in a place where you feel like, well, I learned this lesson well, I should teach someone else this lesson. All of preaching seems to be mine. You know, why did the Lord take the exact same topic that I was struggling with and have me preach that? So yeah, we want to think about that and just check our hearts. Maybe ponder it again and just think of that. Think of this lifeline of prayer. We have a fantasy idea of prayer many times. Or I should say there is. There is a fantasy idea of prayer, and that is this. I can do as I wish, but quickly come to Jesus when I need Him. Now it is true, but there is something unique about the Lord answering our prayers, which seems to be a real blessing for us, and it's merciful from His part to us. So as we think of this topic of prayer, I'd like for us to ponder, am I ready? Am I in the right place? Can I come to God and pray? I don't want us to get an idea that we have to be such and such a good person to pray. But I do want us to ponder a little bit about the reality of, is my phone line cut when I try to pray and commune with God? So I guess that's kind of the caution I will start with is the question, is your phone line cut? But you're on the phone and you're trying to get a hold of someone. So often, that's how our prayer life can be. I'm going to just read a little phrase of Luke chapter 18, verse 8, that has a unique statement in this verse. So it's the story here of the widow coming to the judge of a city and being persistent in her request. And the last verse there, it says this. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. This is talking of God, sorry. So it uses this story of a widow as an example, and then it goes over to talk about God. And it says, God, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now this is the last part I want us to hear before we go into the message here. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So I'm going to ask this in a question form. What do you think is the connection between being persistent and coming to God in prayer with faith? Will he find faith? And I just want to say that there seems to be a blessing there to us. I started with saying, are our phone lines cut? And so much of our life is spent with our phone lines cut. And I want to just raise up this thought this morning that we would have a growing awareness of checking our phone line. Is our phone line active that we can come to God and pray? Here, he speaks of this widow woman who is persistent. She continues to seek for help from the judge. And he says that God will answer us speedily. And then he asks the question there, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Again, why that little phrase? I believe a lot of what we go through in life and how God answers our prayers has to do with that last little phrase. It seems like the Lord knows when to answer that prayer, where it draws us into a trial. And as we go through this trial and we're tested, and you might say it brings us to the end of the rope, and where we get desperate enough to take hold of faith. The Lord has a way of, I might come to Him in the morning and say, Lord, help me with this. And I could be very casual and maybe careless about that. And the Lord says, well, I'll answer it once you come to me in faith. And so He allows it. He doesn't seem to answer my prayer. Maybe it's day one, day two, day five, day seven. And all of a sudden I come to a place and I say, Lord, I have to have help. I need you to help me with this. And why is it so often in a situation at the last minute God answers that prayer? I wonder not if it has a lot to do with us coming to this place where the Lord is wondering, are you coming to me in faith? Or are your phone lines coming? Is it not a trial that brings us to a point of checking our phone lines? Quickly we go back and say, what's wrong? Something's wrong here. I can't get connected. I've got to fix this. The Lord says, will I find faith? So are we connecting with the Lord through faith this morning? What is prayer? Brothers and sisters, we are blessed to be able to come to God in prayer, to have teachings on prayer. We're blessed to walk with God and have the experience. There is nothing as powerful and as wonderful to walk with God, seek Him in prayer, and where He answers. You can have an unbeliever say, what's with Christianity? What's with that? You can try to explain what faith is. But if we have that reality where we have walked with, we're walking with God, and we have the testimony that He answers our prayers, there's no science that needs explaining on, you know, is God real or is He not real? So we have this tool of prayer that we get to use. Again, before I go into the message here, so as you think about using this tool of prayer, I just want us to prep our minds a little as we think about this. When you pray, why do you pray? When you pray, are you conscious of to whom you are praying? When you pray, are you praying with an expectation of your Father in heaven will answer? When you pray, are you praying with a heart that wants God's will and not your own? When you pray, where's your heart at when you pray? Again, I want to lift up the negative side a little bit here, because I want us to be aware. So the questions I just asked about where's our heart when we pray, I just want us to be aware of how to check, maybe how to check if our phone lines are cut. You see, it's a very dangerous thing, and it's a very sad thing to live life thinking that we're serving God in a fantasy world. I use that word because if anyone is in the mindset of it's an idea of serving God but not connected with God. And so I just know how often for myself that I find myself praying more because I'm a Christian than because I pray to God, where I have a relationship with God. So we don't want to be in a place where we're praying because it's a ritual or it's a culture. We want to be praying and have the mental awareness that when we're praying, we are praying to a living God who is my Savior. I'm sure that's very common to you. That's something you think you have thought about. But I wanted to lift that up here this morning. It's hard, or I find it a bit difficult, to think about preaching on prayer and not be very practical. Now, reading sentences and reading notes seems easier, but I would think of it more as you're covering some surface ground, but not really in-depth ground. For example, if I said to you, it's important that we pray, or let's use that phone as an example. It's important that you call, but your phone line's cut. So I wanted to share what I've just shared to prep our minds and our hearts for that. For what is prayer? And prayer is a lot more than making that phone call with our phone lines cut. Let us not be in a place in our personal lives where we come to God out of maybe a form of selfishness, and yet find that due to my behavior, due to my decision, I've cut the phone line. May we know that our phone lines are clear and good, that we have that connection. Prayer. Prayer is the characteristic activity of the Christian life. It is impossible to contain the magnitude of this experience in a single definition. It is a communication between man and God. It is the opening of the skylight of the soul to the life that is above. When Paul summarizes God's work of salvation in Galatians 4:4-7, he places the rite of calling on God as Father at the pinnacle. It is truly a profound expression of God's grace toward us. As one writer has put it, in prayer, God invites us to live with Him. Okay? In prayer, God invites us to live with Him. And we're just going to double check here again, just asking ourselves this question. So what happens when so many professing Christians cannot connect to God? And we'll see a bit more on why we can't connect to God. And in short, I'll just say this. When we struggle to be submitted to God and open with God, having a relationship with God, if we're more in a cultural setting of living as a Christian, then we're not connected to God. So if we're not connected to God, then are we not accepting His invitation that we should live with Him? Let's listen to what I'll read here next. In allowing us to approach Him in prayer, God shows His great love for us. And in praying, we formulate and manifest our devotion to Him. We need a foundational comment here before we move on. Why does it say it this way? In allowing us to approach Him in prayer, God shows us His great love for us. And the foundational comment I want to put here, so that we have this structure set up right, is this. The reality that God is God and man fell short and sinned against God. And because man has sinned against God, man deserved death. Man deserved punishment, but God decided that He would send His Son. So we have a gratitude that we owe to God. And it's God's goodness to us in that He says to us, I invite you to come to me through prayer, and so that I can live with you and you live with me. So we come from a fallen state to God, and God invites us to live with Him. So let's listen to this. Prayer offered in faith is man's most powerful resource, for by it we induce Almighty God to grant that which we desire. Okay, I'm going to read that again. Prayer offered in faith. Now, we could spend probably all morning and talk about what that means. Sometimes we hear someone pray and, according to your faith, be it so. Well, then we might find ourselves asking, Lord, increase my faith. Now, I don't have the time to fully explain what I'd like to say about that. But what would you think is the harmony that God is asking of us? If I were to come to God and say, Lord, request something of God, and I would say, Lord, help my unbelief. What does all that mean? How much does that cover? What I want to lift up here . Faith is not a substance that the Lord needs to increase like you might the flower in a cupboard. Prayer offered in faith. So in order to keep it short here, I'd like to say this faith is a strong faith in God. And I'm going to say it like this. In who He is, right? So much of our, modern teaching of faith is the idea of not knowing God, not following God, maybe going to church, and then when we pray, we say, Lord, help my unbelief. If I were to say, Lord, increase my faith, what am I asking for? Is it that bucket on the shelf that's empty that needs to get filled? No. It's what's in my heart, mind, and soul. So if I were to say, Lord, increase my faith, that would be for me to see God more as He is. To know more of God, of who He is. And let's just, and here's what I want to include with that, and that is this. That includes His will, His righteousness, His holiness, and me submitting to His will. That's all included in this aspect of, Lord, increase my faith. So here, prayer offered in faith, allowing God to be God, allowing Him His will to be my will, and me submitted to Him. So my focus is on God. Prayer offered in faith is man's most powerful resource. For by it we induce Almighty God to grant that which we desire, which is according to His will. But prayer offered in faith is at the same time a request that He induce us to desire that which He wills to grant us, that we may earnestly say, Thy will be done. Did you follow me this far? Prayer would be a topic, would be a wonderful study. Very, very much so. There's so much that comes together here. I don't know how much goes through your mind as I have studied this and what and how I feel about what I'm reading and saying. But I feel like it reminds me of having a tool that I've been given for the most important task in life, and it's kind of maybe like a computer. You know, when somebody gives me a computer, I use the 0.01% of it. All the rest of it, I have no idea what it's for. And so maybe that's how we sometimes look at prayer. It's maybe tough times, maybe to feel like we're doing the Christian thing, we pray, and maybe most of what prayer is for is where I lack. So I feel challenged in my own life that I would look at prayer as my lifeline with Jesus and how I can live for Him, learn from Him, and so on. Okay, prayer offered in faith is man's most powerful resource. For by it we induce Almighty God to grant that which we desire. At the same time, but prayer offered in faith is at the same time a request that He induce us to desire that which He wills to grant us, that we may earnestly say, Thy will be done. We could go through a picture of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. And we know that prayer, and I was pondering this, and I'd like to learn a bit more about this. We don't hear anything said about prayer in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, as far as I know. And I was pondering, you know, it says there that Adam and Eve, they walk with God, and it gives the impression they walk with God, they talk with God, but how? And it gives the impersonated picture there that God is walking with them. And so I was asking myself, did God walk beside them, and did they talk man to man? If me and you are going for a walk, I just, you know, I speak words and you hear, and you speak words and I hear. So how did Adam and Eve talk with God? And I am persuaded that it is prayer. God, the separation there from a created man, and how can man communicate with God, a spiritual being? We are created beings, earthly beings, as we might call them, and He is a spiritual being. And so how do we connect with God, or how did Adam and Eve connect with God? Well, I believe it was through praying. Genesis 3:8 there, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day? Were they praying? We know that it's... So I was going to categorize some of these topics here about prayer into a few parts, and one of them being just for us to meditate on and you know, maybe think about, what do you think, if we could rightly say that Adam and Eve had a prayer life before the fall of man, what do you think it was like? And I want us to picture that, because I think it has a very valuable picture there. So if Adam and Eve had a prayer life before they fell, what do you think it was like? Mm-hmm. Wholly submitted. So there is a sadness. There is a serious sadness, even when you think about the topic of prayer, which that sadness is that we were cut off from the Lord. So much of prayer, and I, again, this is not where I will expound, but there's two paths. There seems to be two things we could study when we think of prayer. One is, what did God ordain prayer to be? Which is what Adam and Eve would have experienced. But almost nothing in Scripture talks about that. It all talks about the needy humans that sinned against God and their sinful will that refuses to acknowledge God. So the whole topic of prayer, which we'll call it, had to be readjusted to what His will was. God created or ordained this avenue of prayer before man was created, or as man was created, and then man sins, and the whole picture and view of how God communes with man changes. God is constantly dealing with a sinful natured person. And so anyway, if you were to study the topic of prayer, you'll very quickly see the whole conversation is about redeeming man. And I just love I'd love to ponder more, what would it have been like, or what will it be like when we go to be with the Lord? What would it have been like prior to the fall? You know, you think of the perfection. You think of Adam and Eve, they have no guilty conscience. Can you just imagine that? They have no past to speak of that's wrong and ill. They have no darkness that they can relate to. It's perfect. And they're walking with God. Now, if we were to try to ponder, what level of joy did they experience? Because we know one of the greatest joys that we're looking forward to, one of the reasons that we're willing to die on the cross, be burned at the stake, drowned in the lake, one of the reasons that Christians have given their lives for God is to be in the presence of God. So if that's what we're trying to attain, what did Adam and Eve experience as they're walking with God? They have no guilt. They have this tremendous joy. Everything is beautiful. It's like when we first get born again. Everything starts to look beautiful. It's, wow. We start to acknowledge God created all this. Just look, we're amazed. Our heart and our eyes, they seem to change. What if this was every day? So they didn't have guilt to deal with. They didn't have the sin to deny. They had a free flow, healthy relationship with God. Again, as far as I understand, I believe that to be through prayer. God, the way God communes with man is through prayer. Adam and Eve would have had a prayer life with God. Second, they are not praying to God, or they're not communing with God from a needy standpoint like we are. They're not asking God for all the different needs because of the sinful state that man is in. And again, just to think, how would we commune with God if all of that was gone? Maybe it would be a good question for us to ask ourselves, if I don't come to God about my wants or my needs, if I don't come to God about my woes, what am I coming to God for? How did Adam and Eve commune with God? They can't pray for the sinners. They're not praying for food that they need food because, you know, they're starving. They're not praying because there's a storm and someone got hurt. They're not praying because all the evil in the world.
What are they praying for? Well, how are they communing with God? I think that's a beautiful picture. Once we go to meet Jesus, what will be our fellowship?
A little statement here of Adam and Eve. Newly created man. Made for fellowship with God. They walked with God. I don't know. You can tell. I studied, but I've come up with a lot of half answers. I'm not entirely sure, and I'd love to have this conversation. But a thought crossed my mind as I was studying. You know that void that mankind has? That can't be filled? And we would always say, Jesus fills the void. He does. But I've had to ponder. You know, when Jesus was stressed, when Jesus was exhausted, when Jesus had need, where was he? He was praying. And it doesn't tell us his prayer life. It doesn't tell us what he prayed. So I have wondered, and it's a thought I have for us this morning. I wonder if this massive void that humanity has, and even Christians, the huge level of discontentment that Christians suffer with, I wonder if it's because they've substituted prayer for everything else. Think of Adam and Eve. What did Eve substitute her relationship with God with? A fruit. And I wondered, is that maybe something that we're not focusing on enough? Maybe there's something that God ordained there, and I believe it is. In our life, when there's a void and there's a need, and we fill it with stuff. And I think, at least in part, maybe a large part, that void is meant for prayer life. And I can say this, from my own testimony, I know in a large part that it's true. When there is chaos, there's needs, there's fears, there's stress, nothing takes care of that like prayer does. Anyway, just a thought. Let's take that home with us. I wonder when we find ourselves feeling in need, feeling alone, feeling something, I wonder not if the Lord is saying, focus here, pray. And I think God wants from us more than just praying about our needs. What is prayer? Prayer, and I'm going to read two definitions here. The addressing and petitioning of God. Now here I want us to notice something. All the rest of this sermon has to do with prayer in the fallen state. That's sad. Again, I'd love to see what God's will was. What would the rest of the Word of God say to us if it wasn't trying to save and recover man? But bless God and praise God that he is trying to recover man. But everything else, all the thoughts here that we will read further in the when you look up the word prayer and praying in the Bible, everything else is geared towards helping mankind. So the addressing and petitioning of God, a definition of Christian prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. In the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. One thing stands out clearly. That's this. God is God and man is needy. And man needs God. That's a healthy, good place to be. For us to be, and before we pray, for us to be settled and comforted, not guilty, not ashamed, but for us to be comforted before God. God is God, Almighty God, and I am needy man, because I am born with a sinful nature, and I am prone to stray from my Savior. I think that's a healthy mental mind state to have when we come to God to pray. It allows God to speak to us give us what we need, and we can then accept, because our will is not in the way. Prayer is an expression of sincere desire. It is not to inform God of matters that he would otherwise be ignorant of. And the validity of prayer is not affected by length or repetition or repetitiveness. Private prayer is to be discreet and secret. And then you can read Matthew chapter 6, 5 to 15. So again, prayer is the proper communication tool to fellowship with God. Man is a created being with limitations. We are not gods. We are not self-sufficient. We do not have any sort of power that can help us to be independent. We are, no matter how we want to view it, we are in need of God. We are in need of his mercies to receive a new day, to have our health, and to live our life. God is spiritual, and for us to commune with him, we need the tool of prayer to connect with God. I kind of need a drawing board, and I wouldn't draw much, but again, I wanted to give us a picture. I wanted to give us a picture of worldviews. And again, it's a general statement, but I want us to think about it. Think of how God, let's look through the lens that God would look through. We could, and we don't have the time, we could share together on the profound awesomeness of God. Whether it was talking about his character, whether it's talking of his creation and the in-depth of his understanding. So we could, out of God's lens, he looks at all the trees. Now, some people are really good at trees. They know this, they know that, they know the flowers, they know my name. And I kind of pictured God looks at all the trees and knows every detail. God could look into the universe and look at all the stars and planets. He knows them all. God can look at all of humanity, and he knows the amount of hair on each head. It's a powerful standpoint that God has. No questions. God has no need to look to man and prove himself. God is God. Let's take man's point of view. Man looks at all the trees and knows but a few. Man can't make the tree grow. He can't bring it to health when it gets sick. Man is powerless. You can get a chainsaw, cut it down, take a seed that's already there, plant another tree, can't make a seed, can't do nothing. Then you have man, he can look at, and we could use many examples. What can man do for man? Nothing. So I am me, and what can I do for my health and my life? Nothing. Outside of being born to year 100, maybe 110, after that, there's nothing. And it's God's grace that allows me to live however long I live, from 0 to 100. So out of man's lens, or maybe the way God views man is ever so helpless. Man can't do anything with distance. He can't help anything. He can't make anything outside of what's already made. On and on. If we talked about the limitations of man, we're limited absolutely everywhere. Now, let's also observe man's point of view to God. Man says, I will decide whether I'll serve God or not. Can you imagine that? What sadness. What sorriness. Man says, I will decide what God says, if that's his word or not. I will decide if I'm going to accept God's word and it applies to me, and if I'll live it or if I won't live it. I guess I just want us to show, I want to show us, just to have that viewpoint here of the helplessness of man and the foolishness of man. Man can build something, and maybe there's definitely very fascinating things that man has built. But man took that from all the other men that they had to learn from. And as their knowledge grows, they can build more things. But God can just as quickly bring it all to nothing. So now, let's think of this. What should then, and I want this to be a lively thought in our mind, what should man's approach be when he thinks about prayer? It reminds me of how often I am self-willed. How often I would find myself, I can do it, I will do it, I won't do it, and I decide whether I need to pray or not. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe it's a small thing like losing a key? You lose your key and you start to feel desperate and anxious. I need to go, I can't find my key. And if we get over our awkwardness and we say, you know what, I'm going to have to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord. And I say this as a confession, not because I want anyone to feel ridiculed. But I say this as a confession. I find myself being tough old me, man, you know, I don't need anybody else. And I can figure it out myself. I'm strong, I'm smart, and I can't find my key. And God knows where that key is. And all of a sudden you take the time, you say, Lord, I cannot find my key. Lord, would you help me find my key? You get up, you turn around. Oh, there it is. You relate to what I'm saying, right? In a very practical way. Then we sometimes tell ourselves or we wonder, what if I had just turned around? Would I have seen it? And we struggle to have faith. We are, in our nature where we're in, we are prone to be self-willed. We are prone to try it on our own. And may we just learn to give it to God and let to walk by faith and relate to God in faith rather than through ourselves. You know, I know we have different stories of little children when something goes wrong. And a sweet little child will say, Daddy, we should pray about it. That's the heart set that we need to have as adults. So, as you can tell, it's 10 to noon. And I'm not sure what more I should say. I do want to lift up this thought to us also. I asked us, as I started here, to look at each other, to look to the next person, and say, I'm praying for you. We should do a study on that part of prayer. God seems to have a wonderful, powerful, heavenly, it aligns with his creation purposes of a will for us and us praying for ourselves, for our neighbors, for fellow Christians, and for those that are lost. Prayer is so much more than the way I've treated prayer. I'll say it like that. Prayer is so much more than this, hey, I lost my key, I gotta quickly pray, but other than that, I don't really need them. And so there's something to learn about. There's something there. There's something to seek God about and to find out, maybe it is, for us to look at what we would think the prayer life was like for Adam and Eve, and for us to try to seek after something like that. For us to work towards and just be being conscious of, God, what was your heart for prayer life? A few thoughts on, we have examples of men, women who have prayed, who have had their prayers answered. And again, we could discuss in what type of ways. We have people that were in fear. They prayed, they asked God for protection, and they were protected. We have people that were afraid, that were comforted. They were able to be calm. We have people that needed wisdom, and they've prayed, and God gave them wisdom. There's prayers of prayers for help because they were in a struggle, maybe tempted, and they won the victory. So if we were to look at all the different types of prayers that have been prayed and how God has answered them, we would again see a greater value in what is all part of God's will for praying. So I am at a section here where I'm going to need to stop, because otherwise I enter too much of things I cannot finish. So I think what I'll do is, honestly, I would like to just close in prayer then. Have us ponder what I've shared so far. And we're going to leave it there for now. I'll see if I will share more of the rest at a later time. So in closing then, the thoughts I want you to meditate on, I want us to meditate on, is this. When you pray, take the time to meditate, premeditate on why you're praying, to whom you're praying, and what your heart state is as far as being in His will regarding what you're praying about. So just being submitted to God and coming to Him in prayer, because you want His will and not yours. Also, that we would meditate on over time, what did God intend for prayer? What was it meant to be? We have people that prayed to God that have done great things. Again, thinking of the men and women that have prayed, that have served God, given their lives to God. They were killed for their faith. And all of that would not have been possible without prayer. We cannot commune with God. We cannot build on a confidence that we're serving God if we're not praying. And so what does all that mean? We can meditate on that. So what did God intend for prayer? And I would that all of us would be encouraged to look at prayer. And when we think about serving God, that one of the foundational thoughts that we have as we think about serving God, prayer is right there. You know, it's kind of like saying, well, I'm a Christian and I need to read my Bible. Yes, you do. But learn, I'm telling myself this, learn to pray as you read God's Word. And I've been very guilty of, and maybe it's just how God teaches us. As a young Christian, for years, you know, I want to say that my Wi-Fi was low. Maybe my internet service was low. Because I could often read God's Word and I would pray, but it was kind of like praying in a dark room. Hopefully somebody can hear me somewhere or something. Like, do you follow what I'm saying? It wasn't directive where, Lord, I'm coming to You and I submit myself to You. I'm seeking Your will. I'm coming to pray. And inside of that is, I'm coming to read Your Word so I can learn of Your will. I'm coming to pray. And so there's a very powerful blessing that God wants us to use. And mind you, we see it again. Why is it during very difficult hardships people turn to prayer? So for us this morning, may we just be in some way admonished or in some way enlightened, and just to think of the blessing God has given us, that we would seek God and learn to pray. Lastly, again, I'm with you. As you know, I'm sure if maybe one of you brothers can preach on prayer next Sunday, and then you can share. And it will happen to you as it happens to all of us when we think about a topic and we want to share. We find ourselves overflowed. So this morning, I feel myself, you know, overflowing with, wow, Lord, I didn't realize that I was using my phone or my whatever. And I'm not coming up with a good example. It's using what God has given me for the wrong things, or not having a proper view of what it's for. And I am challenged with my weakness in this. And so as I study it, all of a sudden it's enlightening to me. And I'm thinking, Lord, I again see so much of my need. And I was going to use that with an example. It happened yesterday. And I was needing something. And I'm not going to tell you what it exactly was, but I want to give you this picture. I was seeking the Lord about something, and it seemed as if the Lord was reminding me that I was trying to do it with cutting corners. So, maybe it's like saying, I want to be safe, and then you climb up on high things without being tied off properly. So, me going to work, and I'm a three-story building, it's a 10-12 pitch, and you already know what's going to happen. If something goes wrong, I'm going down. And then I say, oh Lord, keep me safe. And the Lord says, huh? How do you keep safe? Well, realistically, then you wear a harness. So there are times where I find myself in with my prayer life that God probably looks at me confused, saying, what? What were you asking for? Because God says, well, you're up high, you know that. You have a harness, it's in the trailer, you know that. The roof is steep, you know that. Where's your harness? Being practical with a prayer life. Allowing God to work in us and we work towards God's will. I'm sorry, I do have to say one more thing here. I don't know if I'm not sure if I will preach more on the rest of this topic here. I want to lift up one thing on a practical side for us. So we just started this message here of prayer. I want to touch base today, and possibly again. If I finish this message at a later time, then I would like to do it again at that time. And here's what I want to say. This is a bit of a request, maybe an encouragement to us. As we think about prayer, I've noticed over time, as we think about prayer, our viewpoint, and so much could be said about where we are in prayer. Again, we know this in singing, but probably also in praying. There's the greatest failure of hypocrisy is probably prayer. That's the same way for singing. So where are we in regards to all of this? So what I was going to highlight here is I have found with time and with different experiences that there is a thought pattern regarding prayer that is not healthy. And here's what that is. We've come from a religious setting, many of us, and it was dead prayer. It was forced. It was all the other things. And today we come to a place where we are. It's not a dead prayer. We're wanting to pray to God. And we've taken a position about prayer, which is what I want to highlight. And that position about prayer is this. We have become reckless in our respect for prayer. So just as a social admonishment or social encouragement for us this morning, there's a different brother that shared this with me, and I was very blessed that he did. And I just want to highlight it here. When I think about prayer, I would invite us, and this is what I want to say. I would like to invite us this afternoon now, but also going on. Children, how do we pray? And you don't have to answer me, but I want you to think about this. When we pray, you children know this, right? When we pray to God. And this God is the one that created everything. Children, do you know what it's like when daddy gets pulled over? Hopefully none of you have. But daddy would get pulled over and the police officer comes to the window. We all sit there, oh no, what's he going to say? We have this fear. Well, we don't have that kind of fear for God. But if we're going to have fear for man, I would much rather that we would have a healthy fear for God. So all I'm saying, children, when we pray, let's not play. Knowing how to fold your hands, knowing how to stand still, that's good. Right, children? It's good to stand and When you pray, you're praying properly.
So I want to ask the daddies and the mommies this morning that we would be stronger in teaching our children a good respect for prayer. It does surprise me sometimes, and I mean this with love, I mean this with kindness. It surprises me sometimes when we pray that everyone's doing this. And all I want to say in a nice way is this. It's kind of like we're praying to nobody. We don't want to pray to nobody. We want to pray to God. And it's so healthy, not because God needs it. God doesn't need us to close our eyes and pray quietly. It's not for God. It's for you and me. It's for me that I come to God and I say, God, you're so big, you're holy, and you are merciful to me. You forgave me my sin, and because you did that for me, I will be respectful. I'm going to pray to God, and I pray. You know, maybe I'm standing nicely, my eyes closed, looking down. Can I say that? Let's learn when we pray that we pray respecting God. Yeah. Okay, that's for the children and parents. I realize that many of us have come from a religious setting, and sometimes we have this feeling that we're not trying to be religious. Well, I'm not calling us or asking us to be religious. I just like to invite us. Let's teach our children and ourselves as well, as much as we can, as when we pray, that we're being respectful. Respectful to God, we are praying. I think of, to put some weight to coming before God, I sometimes tell our children when they like to slouch on the chair, we're going to pray. I have a hard time thinking God's in a golfing mood when we want to pray. Feet up, slouching, ready to take a nap. Oh Lord, I think maybe if we're going to thank God and say, I have no need for anything, I'm doing really well, thank you Lord. Maybe you could do that when you're laying on your back and feet up. But when we come before God, we're asking Him to help us and to go through this battle of life and live by faith, and it's challenging, and there's a lot of struggles that we face. I think it's so nice for us to be able to remember. Someone says, maybe when I'm done, the brothers will come up here and say, let's pray for lunch. That we're able to say, or we're able to have it in our mind, oh, we're going to pray. And we stand nicely because we're praying to God. For us, moms and dads, and for you children. When we pray to God, let's respect God. It's good for us. So I might say it again next weekend if I preach further on this. But maybe you feel like it's a bit strong, but I think it's good. Good for us, it's good for me, it's good for you that we respect God. Prayer is a lot more than, I know what it's like when, before I was born again, to sit in church, now they're praying, and to be totally disconnected to the prayer. I understand. But let us look to God and let Him teach us so that we can be connected with Him. I want to close in prayer and then I'll be finished. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come before You. Lord, You know what I have shared, and Lord, I want to give it to You. Lord, You know how much I need this. And Lord, I pray that You would bless my brothers and sisters and all the children. Lord, You teach us in Your word that when men had fear of God, not because You are a giant, but we had respect for You, for You are God. And You will be our judge one day. And if we live for You, You will grant us eternal life one day. So Lord, teach us to come before You with respect. In our hearts, help us, Lord, that we would acknowledge You as God and that we would not be selfish and think of ourselves rather than You as we pray. So, Lord, teach us to pray. And for each one here, Lord, I pray that You would work in each of our hearts. Lord, You have shown me
And Lord, I pray that if there is need, that you would show each of us here this morning. Lord, what did you intend for us when you ordained this avenue of prayer? Lord, we are a person. When I talk to another person, I just talk to them. Lord, you are in spirit. I don't see you. And Lord, you've asked us to come to you in prayer. Lord, what would you have us to know, to learn about prayer? God, we know from your word that you want to answer us speedily. God, we know that you have a will for us. So Lord, I pray that for each one that is here, Lord, do a work in our heart, that we would look to you with love, with respect. Lord, you are good, and you're good to us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us to walk in faith. Lord, help us to look to you and acknowledge as much of who you are as we understand. Lord, help us as we look to you that we will allow you to be Lord in our life. And Lord, I pray that through your Spirit that you would work in us and teach us. Lord, maybe this is a sobering message. Maybe this message has a way of cutting. Lord, I pray that it would not be so in an unhealthy way. But Lord, I pray that each one of us here would see again how wonderful you are to us in giving us this blessing of prayer. Lord, teach us the meaning of prayer. Lord, as you, Jesus, when you went through difficult times, when you needed rest, Lord, you went up into the mountain to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord. Help us, Lord, to bow our hearts before you. Help us, Lord, as we live life, that we would live it realizing that I'm not here for my will or for my kingdom, but for your will and your kingdom. And from brothers to brothers and sisters to sisters, us as a body, we're all together one. Lord, teach us to pray for each other. Lord, I feel that you have a great blessing for us that we could learn more of and take part in. I pray, Lord, that you would give it to us. Lord, I trust each of us here is praying with me together. Teach us, Lord, what you meant for us regarding prayer. Lord, help us to be prayer warriors. Lord, this evil kingdom around us, it's using tremendous energy in trying to destroy your children. Lord, I believe you've given us prayer to help us to focus on you and to walk by faith, and to help us to win this battle. So Lord, again, I pray that you give us strength, that you would bless us, Lord. Lord, we stand before you, we sit before you. Lord, we come to you and call you Father. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be your children. I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified through us. Lord, I pray you bless each of us. Bless the rest of our day. Lord, bless your word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.